We're one day away from the homecoming game, and today we will break down that matchup against the Kansas Jayhawks. He's Matt Mosley, I'm Weston Rogers, and this is Sikkim 365 Daily. Well, Matt, the Kansas Jayhawks are rolling into town. It's homecoming for the Baylor Bears at 2:30 on FS1 at McLean Stadium. The big promotion this week is Stripe McLean, so it's going to be green and gold throughout the entire stadium. Matt, this is a Kansas team that gave TCU all they can handle, and if it hadn't been for three missed field goals, they would have won.
Yeah, Weston, appreciate you having me. I think that's probably a good thing for Baylor, what happened with TCU, and hopefully that got their attention. I mean, the Iowa State situation should have had their attention, but just in case on a homecoming they were feeling too good about things, Kansas team that was able to fight and scrap for everything and really, I thought, outplayed TCU and should have been able to pull that game out. I think that hopefully will have Baylor's attention. And, you know, as always, Baylor's had some interesting things going on, and it has been a trying the entire season. So I think homecoming would be good for folks to everybody get back, have a parade. You know, the thing got knocked out because of weather, you know, obviously this last year. So I think it'll be nice to have everybody together and to have a big weekend, and then kind of remind folks as they come back, hey, why they love the school, and for one day maybe focus on all the good feelings that people have about Baylor, and not maybe dwell on some of the negatives that have been out there this season.
Yeah, and that's something, you know, this week, just trying to follow the team and listening to Coach Grobe and kind of their mentality, especially coming off a bye week where you've had some time to prepare. And like you said, watching TCU last week really struggle with Kansas. Like I said, hopefully it's a wake-up call, because against Iowa State, they came out flat, didn't want to play essentially for three quarters almost, except for Shaq Linwood and that offensive line. And so, yeah, hopefully that was a wake-up call, like you're saying. Kansas, they have some talent, if you want to, you know, as far as some guys that have transferred over from other schools, other programs. You know, that I know earlier this year in one of the podcasts that you were on with me, you mentioned Cozart. It feels like he's been at Kansas for about 10 years. He's lost his starting job to a sophomore, Ryan Willis, and he put up some big numbers against TCU, except he had three interceptions, and that's, you know, that and then a fumble really hurt them pretty badly. But he's shown some promise. They got some good receivers. They're small. They're both, you know, their top two receivers are both under 6 foot, under 200 pounds. But one of them is the Gonzalez kid that's transferred from A&M. It was a Cedar Hill kid. And David Beatty, I mean, he's a good football coach. I know you've been in Dallas area for a long time, and I grew up in that area, in Dallas area. So, you know, David Beatty, if people from that area know, he was a high school football coach around Dallas for years. And he's got a lot of ties to Texas.
You've mentioned more about Kansas than I've ever known, probably in the last 20 years of Kansas. Now, the one Kansas team that I could tell you about was when Mangino had them, and they had that they had a Texas high school bred quarterback and Todd Reesing a few years back, and those were some good teams. I'll say this, and I think our audience will appreciate this. There's a kid named, you brought up Gonzalez. There's a guy named Steven Sims, I believe is his name. He's put up some good numbers for him, 5 touchdowns this year at wide receiver. Keep your eye on him, because he's on pace. The last receiver that I really remember at Kansas doing much was a guy named Desmond Briscoe. You got to go back to about 2009. To kind of think about him, and he might have been on one of those teams that almost beat Baylor when RG3 was trying to win the Heisman. He certainly did win the Heisman, and people kind of forget that they had kind of a miracle comeback in Lawrence against a Turner Gill coach team that kept that Heisman hopes alive for RG3 that season. And so I would think there's enough talent on that team from Kansas. I think they are getting better. I think you're right. I think he's brought in a couple of Houston kids who are kind of helping them out. And then watch this kid. They brought him in on kind of a belldozer type play, one play last week, but they've got a big old kid from out of Houston, North Shore, about 6'2", 245, who can run it, and I think they may use him. They want to use him. He's been banged up. They want to use him more on short yardage. I believe his name is Micaiah Long. So that's something everybody should be looking out for in case they try to bring him in kind of a short yardage package. Hey, this is a team Baylor should overwhelm, and you don't want to let them hang around, and you want to take off early and see what you can do and try to kind of build some momentum. I mean, I hate the schedule. I hate the off week, Kansas, and then another off week. I mean, I don't, nobody can like this, but this is a good chance to see kind of where, you know, is KD back to where he needs to be? Some of these players that have been banged up, can you get them back in there? And then, you know, I'm kind of fascinated with what Grobe, knowing that he's probably not going to be back next year, he continues to do some interesting things. I know there was a backup defensive player this week that he basically, and you may know more about this than I do, Weston, but the way I read this thing, he basically suspended the kid, kicked him off for the rest of the year. He'd still be on scholarship for basically having a bad attitude, and it was affecting other players. And he said, hey, you're off the team the rest of the year. And so, that's kind of an old-school type thing, but I kind of appreciate that mentality. And Grobe has shown the capacity. We saw it with Shaq Linwood. If somebody doesn't have the right attitude, they're not practicing the right way, he'll sit you down. And this is a player that, who knows, maybe he'll come back and help us in the future. But, hey, bad attitude, he's out for the rest of the year. So I kind of admire Grobe for some of the way he's handling some of this.
Yeah, he's definitely come in and set a tone that at least for this season, it's his team. It's going to be his way or you won't play and you won't participate. Now, I do like that. Okay, so it's a bad attitude and you tell him to go sit out the rest of the season, but he's still on scholarship. He's still in class. And hopefully it gets through to the kid. You know, the player references Eric Ogor, the backup nickelback. And, you know, hopefully it hits home to him and he can pull through and better his attitude and become a more productive member of the team. You know, he's still a young guy. I think he redshirted last year as his redshirt freshman. But, you know, we'll see what happens there. The one thing, like you're saying, the overwhelm Kansas and Baylor's coming into this game fifth nationally in rushing, 290 yards a game. And I know earlier this year you and I talked, and it's been a big thing on the board on Sikkim365.com, but that O-line has, especially against Iowa State, finally looks like they're starting to gel and be the unit that everybody's used to with Randy Clements coached offensive line. So if they can come in and Shock carries over what he did against Iowa State, then I'm with you. They should be able to manhandle Kansas. And I know Kansas has they're getting a little thin on D-line, just like Baylor is. So that only helps Baylor.
Yeah, I think you're right. And I think that offensive line needs to lean on some folks and wear them out. And I think that the running game does fire up that O-line when they're able to fire out and hopefully use some of their athleticism, some of their size. And, you know, that's the thing about a team like Kansas. If you turn the ball over early or give them any excitement, they'll kind of rally. And Beatty does have them playing really hard. You want to take a team like this out of it early in a game. And that's why, you know, they let SMU stay too long. I mean, who knows what would have happened in an SMU game if the kid hadn't thrown some of those picks down there in the red zone. So hopefully Willis will throw him the ball a little bit. But what I would hope is that you see a much more effective defensive performance, because that that Iowa State thing was close to being one of the worst performances I've seen on defense. And if not for three stops late that game, which, you know, shockingly came back to back to back, they lose that game. So this is a chance to show both to the pollsters and then, you know, the folks that are going to be soon getting together to start. They've already started doing that to a certain extent. They're going to be, you know, as you get closer to what the playoff committee, you need to remind them. And right now, the win over Oklahoma State's really the only thing, you know, you would argue is a quality win. And so I'm not saying beating Kansas was a huge quality win, but winning in a dominant fashion is very important. I'm not saying you have to score 70 or whatever, but there's no need to let them stick around. And then, hey, let's get healthy and start this grueling stretch. And I think Baylor would be best served almost in a way, treat what happens, you know, against Kansas almost like that's when the non-conference season ends. I know they've played Oklahoma State, but in theory, okay, you get a week off and then conference play begins and you got to grind, but you got to get mentally prepared for it. And instead of sitting around here like we do and complaining about the schedule, use this thing to your advantage. If you got some players who are still banged up, I would consider, you know, sitting them against Kansas. There's no reason to rush anybody back. And the last thing I want to see is turn on this game and watch it and see KD Cannon limping off the field. I mean, I would definitely consider giving him one more week and seeing if you can get him back to 100%. There's no need to have him out here in this game if you're not certain he's at 100%. And you just do not want that to be a nagging thing because he is such a big time home run threat.
Yeah, and I know that Grobe has pretty much already said that Bravion Roy, the nose tackle, will basically miss this game, and he should be ready for Texas. So at least one player we know of that's dinged up, and he got hurt early in that Iowa State game.
Yeah.
You know, he's a player that, yeah, he's one of those guys, especially as thin as we are on depth at defensive line, you got to get him healthy and make sure he's ready for that stretch run after the next bye week. So I'm with you. If you're not ready to go, and then, you know, on top of that, Kansas is going to come to this game fired up because they're in the 2:30 time slot. And David Beatty this week in his press conference said, you know, our players are really excited, jacked up because they're playing at 2:30 and they haven't played outside of an 11 o'clock game in a long time. So I know to people listening to this and that follow Baylor recently, they don't understand that. But at one time, yeah, we did understand that if you got a game that wasn't an 11 a.m. kickoff, you were excited. You were jacked
That's
up.
That's funny. So I hadn't even thought about that, but I mean, hell, you know, it's more attractive than a time slot than the Texas OU game, which was on Fox Sports 1
and at
11 a.m. And so Baylor, you know, who in the world would ever think that's very funny that Kansas would somehow sort of take pride in that, but good for them. But boy, you turn the lights out on them early. My gosh, 2:30. It's going to be it's going to be a little warm out there too. And I tell you, this stripe and the deal, I hope, Weston, you have studied this seating chart. I would hate to see you. First of all, I want you to be in the right colors. And then second of all, I want you to I think a guy from Scurry like you should bring both colors just in case you have, looked at your seating chart wrong. I think that'd be a good bet on your part because you don't want to be the guy in your section that has the wrong color on. That would be embarrassing. So I hope this massive audience that we have on Saturday really enjoys seeing a stripe stadium because this is really what it's all about.
Hey, now I know you like taking the shots at Scurry Rosser, but I do know how to color code. So they did teach us that at least. You know,
you do what you need to do.
Finding the right section, that's a whole other story. But, you know, it's that's part of reading. I don't know if I can do that. But, yeah, and talking about the audience, you know, people are, you know, as far as watching this game, it was on FS1, and you and I beforehand talked a little bit about this week of the Big 12. Man, it's frustrating in a sense, because if you follow Baylor, you follow the Big 12, and you want the Big 12 to succeed as a whole. But Baylor Kansas is essentially the premier game of the week at a 2:30 start on FS1, because you got two 11 a.m. starts, one on ESPN, which is Kansas State and OU, and one on FS1, which is West Virginia and Tech. And then the 6 p.m. game is Iowa State at Texas on the Longhorn Network, which I can't tell you what channel that is on DirecTV. I don't know. You know, it's up there in the 600 somewhere, but who's going to watch it? So that's frustrating, you know, as a whole, as far as the conference goes. That's the best it could come up with.
Well, and then let's not forget, and when we talked and react to what happens on Saturday, I mean, by Monday, the conference is already called a news conference, and we're going to maybe find out where this thing's headed in terms of expansion. And quite honestly, I don't think it's headed anywhere, and I think it sort of speaks to the, boy, I tell you, a lack of leadership, you know, there are too many chiefs that have gotten involved in this thing. And, you know, David Boren seems to be like the de facto conference commissioner right now. And so, yeah, all that to say, the reason I bring it up is you're right. This is a pretty rough looking schedule, but that's kind of where this conference is right now. I mean, do we know who's the best team in this conference? We know who's still undefeated. Do we feel like at this point in the season we have any true feeling about what West Virginia is? I would say no. I would say we really don't have a great feeling. Do we know what Baylor is? No. I don't think we do either. And that's why it's a down season for the conference. And Baylor has an opportunity here. But now they have to – you got to come out there, you know, after that Iowa State performance. And, I mean, where Shaq Linwood basically saved the team and the offense had to kind of save everybody, you got to come out and have a balanced deal. Because if you do that, then, you know, depending on what happens in front of you, you know, you could end up with you know, moving up to, who knows, 8 or 9. And then you can get on a roll. Then you go out and you take care of Charlie. And, I mean, we can get on a fun roll. But you got to take care of the Jayhawks on Saturday. Stripe the stadium. Get out there, Weston.
All right, Matt. We appreciate it, and we'll check back in with you next week, and we'll go over this week of Big 12 football.
Oh, I think we will, and I think I appreciate everybody who's been coming on the boards and with Sikkim 365, some of the best insight out there, and I think more and more people need to continue to sign up for it. I mean, how else can you get access to a podcast like this one? So I encourage everybody to go out there and sign up. We've come up with a very reasonable cost. I have tried to convince the guys to charge a lot more, but they, as usual, are not listening to me and continue to make this a real reasonable price. So I hope folks will continue to be a part of this thing.
All right, Matt, we appreciate it.
Okay, buddy.